are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Today the show is brought to you by Cosmos Chiropractic Care. In the heart of Natick Center, this private practice has been in business for over 22 years. Dr. Cosmo is always proud to say that she works with pride. Get in touch with them today at drcosmos.com. All right, next on Scene, we are turning a new leaf today. It is officially being opened up to live callers. And leading into the new year of 2018, we have a lot of exciting things going on, a lot of more amazing guests, one being on today, I will be sharing with you in a little bit. So we do want to let you know that you absolutely can submit questions to Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at jzsocialenterprises.com. Or, which we are doing today, is we are opening it up to live callers. As I stated earlier, this is really exciting. We are turning a new leaf and we are allowing you to get involved in our podcast. So we are really excited about that. We have an amazing guest on the line in a few minutes, Vicki Ziegler, who is a renowned matrimonial attorney, mediator, author, and reality TV personality. You also might have seen her on Untying the Knot on Bravo. So we are really excited to have her on today as an expert and discuss this whole scenario with Jay-Z and Beyonce's cheating scandal. And who would she rather be? Would she rather be Jay-Z? Would she rather be Beyonce in this scenario? And how are they working out through their diversities? Is it through music? Like, Vicki's going to give us all these insider tips on, you know, going through divorces and what are some real things that people deal with day to day when it comes to settling agreements. I mean, I grew up in a divorced family, so I have seen a lot of things go on, but I'm grateful that my parents get along. I mean, just hearing from a matrimonial attorney's, you know, side can really give us some insight on what real people go through on a day-to-day basis. Like, getting divorced is now very common, and this might put at ease with better ways to handle situations and more. So stay tuned and we'll be back in a few minutes with Vicki Ziegler. All right, next on Scene, we are officially on the line with Vicki Ziegler. Hi, Vicki, how are you today?
Hi, Jackie, how you doing?
Good, I'm so excited to have you on. As I told you even before we went on the call, that I have been a fan for a while. So it's such an honor to have you on and see how much you've grown. So I'm so excited for you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's my pleasure to be here and help anyone that's listening answer questions and, you know, try to help people navigate the lovely world that we live in. So it's really my pleasure to be on with you.
Of course. So tell us a little bit of how you even got involved in matrimonial attorney work.
Oh, well, you know what? This is a funny story. People always ask me questions about exactly that topic. So when I was 10 years old, turning 11, my parents sat me down in a room. It was gray and it was like a dark day. And they said, listen, we're getting divorced. Mommy and daddy don't love each other any longer, but we wanted to tell you so you knew what was going on. And I thought my world was crumbling around me. I mean, I had a feeling that things weren't right and they didn't act like other parents acted in a happy fashion, but I just never thought that day would come. So from that pain that I went through as a product of divorce, I kind of picked up my bootstraps, helped them broker their divorce actual deal. So I helped mediate the deal because I figured if they both get what they want and I suffered a little, I thought that they'd be able to move on more expeditiously. So that actually happened. And I brokered a 50-50 parenting plan with my parents.
Insane!
Radius.
That is, yeah, like, amazing. Yeah. So you literally just threw yourself into the fire kind of situation.
Yeah, I did. And frankly, to be honest with you, hold on, I'm so sorry, 1 second.
It's okay.
To be honest with you, that's going to be part of a movie that I wrote, and it kind of is the opening scene. But you know what, for me, it was almost like I had to go through this terrible time to see what an unhappy couple looked like for me to have this career path in mind to help, you know, to help children go through their divorces. And eventually I realized that I helped litigants save money as well and protect them. And that's kind of what thrust me into the world of matrimonial law. And of course I had to get divorced so I could walk in everyone's shoes to understand what they were really going through.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And I think this is my life path and mission. to help people going through difficult times.
I mean, that's really inspiring. Like, I really admire that about you, that you were like, you know what, I want my parents to each get what they deserve, so I'm just going to try it for myself, you know, and help them settle this.
That's yeah, like, I guess it was kind of dumb luck. I didn't know what I was doing, but I think I was around adults a lot when I was young because I was an only child and I had a cat. That was about it. So I figured, I think I listened to everyone a lot, and then I just kind of went with my intuition. So I think sometimes it's a good kind of example for people that you do have to go with your gut sometimes. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. No, I absolutely love that. So what do you find is a common thing that with couples that are getting divorced, especially with physical items, since you deal with this so much, that like is really hard to let go of?
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like it's most of the time it's things that are not, don't have high monetary value. It's more sentimental value. Well, I bought this when we were together in Italy and we were having an amazing time. So somebody wants to kind of capture and keep that memory alive of the positive times. And then sometimes it's, you know, well, my parents gave me something and they didn't mean for it to go to you if we were getting divorced. So I see that a lot.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? If everything's happy and so pathetic, yes, it's ours. But when we're getting divorced, it's just mine. You know, and I understand that to some degree, especially if somebody cheated or they're hurt or, you know, ending a marriage that they necessarily didn't want to end. So
right.
That kind of emotional component around items. And then I have your everyday items. Like, listen, I want that couch and I want that armoire and I want those, you know, I like that cutlery from Williams Sonoma and I've been giving it to you. So
right.
We have people fighting over specific forks and vases and bottles of olive oil. I mean it gets crazy.
I believe it. I mean, I give you so much credit because I grew up in a divorced family too, so I totally relate to what you do. So
yeah, you know what I feel like, yeah, when you go through a divorce situation, Jack, like some people have good experiences, a lot don't, but when you're dealing with emotional people every day, you know, you definitely kind of have to like keep your sanity and have to be mildly normal, otherwise you know, you either go drink a lot at night or, you know, you really kind of take it home with you and bring it into your relationship. And I really try not to do that. So I'm always work in progress, shall we say, after 20 years of practicing divorce law.
Right. Well, I just feel like you're constantly, new things come up constantly because you're dealing with all different types of characters, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, one part of my practice that I love is premarital planning. And the prenup side of it, because everyone's actually really happy and in love. So I love to meet people when they're kind of on their high in their relationship, because I'm always meeting them when they're at their low.
Right.
So that's a little kind of a perk in my business that no one really kind of, I don't know, talks about. But for me, it's one of my highlights.
No, that's so great to know. I mean, ironically, I'm getting married in July. So,
oh,
yeah.
Congratulations. I have to get you a book. I wrote a journal that you should be filling out before your wedding.
Oh my God, I love it. I would love one. That
yeah,
sounds awesome.
About getting emotionally and financially naked. So I promise I have to get that too.
No, that's so amazing because I was even reading, you know, some of your blogs about normal fights to have before you get married, things that come up, you know, and I felt like I could so relate to some of the content that was there, you know. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I mean, no, of course. I feel like we're all human, and anyone that pretends that they're perfect is just nonsense.
Right.
In any relationship, you know, you're going to have challenges, and before you get married, it's the wedding. And then after the wedding, it's the marriage, and then it's kids, and then it's in-laws. So I think it's just you have to figure out that balance of, I think, properly discussing your feelings, communicating. And if you don't have, like, a background of solid parents that showed each other love and respect, you have to figure it out on your own and navigate. So it's not so easy.
No, not at all. But that's so true. I mean, that's just part of life, the journey, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, I think in anything that we do, there's always going to be those highs and lows and ups and downs. And I feel like, I think number one, it's about getting secure with yourself and then being secure in your relationship, right?
Right.
Like if you have these problems and insecurities, you know, low self-esteem issues, you gotta work those kinks out. You got to get to therapy, talk to your rabbi or priest. You need to figure it out because you'll project them in your relationship and it will never be a smooth, happy, long-lasting marriage if you don't get those kinks worked out.
No, it's so true. And then, of course, you know, I absolutely want your feedback on the whole Jay-Z Beyonce scandal, you know, and if you were in that, you know, like, let's totally talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess it's, are you team Beyonce or team Jay-Z, right?
Right, exactly. So whose team are you on?
I am on team Beyonce all the way.
Yeah, I love her. Independent woman, right?
Yeah, I think she's just creative, unique, independent, not codependent in a lot of ways. And I respect her because I feel like, listen, we don't know what's going on in their marriage, why he cheated, what happened. I always think cheating is a symptom, not the cause. Something, is really going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Him, her, you know what I mean, the both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But to forgive somebody so publicly and to be able to show solidarity during a difficult time when you are hurt and feel betrayed is really noble. So I respect that. I don't think I could do that, quite frankly. I don't know. I haven't been really in that position. I don't know if you could do it.
Right. No, I don't. I mean, when you're so much in the spotlight, they also make up so much crap that's not true, you know? So,
right, we don't know what's true, what's not.
Right.
I think it seems like some of the lyrics from his new, you know, new music, pretty evident that he probably did something that he regretted. And I think they went to counseling and he needed help and figured it out. So I think that, you know what, there's a lot to be said about a woman that can forgive and stand up. And I think she came from strong family values. So they have children and, you know.
Right. You have to learn to put some. Yeah. I was going to say you have to learn to work, like vocalize it. Right.
Yeah. And what's priority to you? I never tell people stay together for the children. But if you love somebody and you created a family and you want it to work, then you work at it. So you both have to want to work at it. So it seems like they both wanted to.
What is a common thread that you find that starts triggering? I mean, obviously every couple is different, but when it comes to leading to divorce, what is a common denominator for that? Like, is there a common argument or common thing that you keep seeing that usually leads to that?
No, I always see the breakdown of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people start being disrespectful to one another for whatever reason, whatever they're arguing over. And once that disrespect starts, I feel like there's no turning back from name calling and from, you know, being derogatory to one person and not telling them the way you feel nicely, going to bed angry. I just, these are like common themes that I see when people come to me. Like their marriage is so foregone that there is no way to repair it.
Right. So like by the time they see you, basically, it's already on the outs kind of thing.
Yeah, it's on the outs, and one person definitely has one foot out the door.
Right.
Usually, it's not two people. It's usually one person for sure, and the other one's on the fence. They know that the marriage isn't working, but they're not exactly sure if they want to end it or they want to try to reconcile.
Right.
So that's kind of a pretty common theme that I see.
No, that's so interesting. It absolutely makes sense because relationships are all about communicating. I mean, even with friendships, right? So
everything, work-related relationships, and I feel like people aren't taught from the get-go at a young age how to properly tell each other how they feel.
Right.
And holding things in and then fighting about an issue that happened 2 weeks ago and, you know, being honest but being kind and not hurting someone's feelings. Like, I wish we all had a class in school that could teach us how to properly, effectively communicate, because I feel like we'd all be just better off in our relationship.
Totally. I absolutely agree with that. So, you know, obviously because we talked a little bit about your, you know, the positive side of what you do, you know, not that nothing that you do isn't positive, but when people get married and you do the premarital counseling stuff, what advice would you give to people that are getting married, you know, like that are in my shoes right now? Like, what is some advice you would give them heading into getting married?
Definitely get emotionally and financially naked. I think getting all those skeletons out of the closet that are important off your chest, you know, talking about kind of the issues that you've had in your upbringing and your past relationships that you don't want to bring into your current relationship are very important. I think that finances and financial disclosure is crucial. being honest about your credit score and that you overspend or you have a Chanel account.
Right.
And, you know, like, you have all this debt and you don't know how to pay for it and you want to learn how to better, you know, prioritize your bills and, you know, you can't balance your checkbook, whatever that may be. Be honest. I mean, have these discussions. I see so many couples not talking about these things and then they get married and they're like stuck on issues. And I'm like, why didn't you speak about this before?
Right.
And people are like, oh, I didn't know, or I thought maybe it wasn't important, or I didn't want to tell, you know, tell my honey that, you know, I'm like a major like shopaholic. But these are things that, you know, you guys need to like talk about because they're going to find out and you have to create budgets and talk about how you, what you're going to do with your income and are you going to enter into a prenup and how does that affect you?
Right.
So I think those are really important components. And I think the biggest problem people have when they're getting married is focusing on the day and not the marriage. So I feel like, yes, the wedding is an amazing thing. It's a 24-hour, you know, whirlwind and then all of a sudden it's over. And then you're stuck with each other. So, you know, figuring out the red flags, the things that you want to work out the kinks now should be really focused on instead of just a happy wedding day. It'll make life a lot easier.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I've been with my fiance now for 6 years. So, like, I feel like when you really fully know somebody, like, you really should really know somebody before you decide to commit to them because, you, like you said, your wedding is one day and then you're back to normal life, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I feel like that's some advice that people should heed because I've seen so many marriages fail and I want people to succeed. Even though it's what I do for a living, I'd much prefer, you know, helping people get off on the right foot.
Totally.
So I feel like, you know, that's just some advice that they should take. And in my journal, I kind of go a little deeper emotionally for people. It's not necessarily kind of like I wrote 2 books on premarital planning. One's pretty kind of intense, and you really have to read it. The other one's more about yourself and your life and your past history and what you're looking for in the future and what you can kind of change and grow upon in your next relationship to make it work. So I'm pretty proud of that because I took a lot of time and 20 years of experience to put that together for people.
I mean, I think it's so great that you did that. I mean, you probably know it best because you've seen them at their worst, right? So you know what to prevent.
Yes, and that's the funny, Jacqueline. Everyone says to me, you've seen me at my worst. I wish I wasn't so unhappy, you know, because I really, you know, people are embarrassed when they're getting divorced, and they shouldn't be, but they are. And I always tell people, listen, you know what, there's a no judgment zone here. You know, you're going through a tough time, and I'm here to help you get through it. I unfortunately didn't choose their spouse, but I'm here to try to problem solve the best that I can.
Right.
So I really do feel bad for people because I know how it feels to go through a tough time. And, you know, people are ashamed of the choices they made and have to tell people they're getting divorced. But I always say there's always a dark cloud with every dark cloud has a silver lining. So I feel like, hey, you went through it. You know, you still have your health. You're going to be okay. And you just got to move on and look forward.
No, it's so true. So I know prior to the podcast, one of we did have like a few questions, and one of them was, "How do you?" This was by Jamie Chalaki, but how do you find work life balance in what you do?
Oh gosh, whoever finds that fantasy, please let me know. I mean, I find like working and having a husband and a child and a dog, and then trying to have friends. And I do charity work and then try to do TV and radio and write. I have to tell you, it's daunting. You know, there's some days you just like your head is spinning. And then there's other days they're like, oh my God, everything's great.
And you have some like breathing time, right?
Yeah, I feel like every day is a new challenge. And I think that for me, positive mindset is key. When I'm in a bad space or I'm feeling down, I'm never going to be as productive. I'm not going to have a good attitude. So I look at everything with a glass half full as much as I possibly can. And I read a lot of affirmations and positive sayings because I just believe that helps me get into that mood.
I love that. I totally agree with you with that 100%.
Yeah. You do that too?
Yeah, I absolutely do that.
Yeah, I feel like it really helps my focus on the day and that anything that's happening that I perceive as being, you know, unfortunate or bad automatically turns into a positive. I always can learn from a mistake or something that goes wrong with somebody. And I really just try to be happy and have a happy mindset. So for me, that's the number one thing that I do on a daily basis. And we're always in gratitude because, you know, it could always be worse. And I think when you wake up and you say that you're grateful and, you know, you out loud or you pray to whomever. It doesn't mean that I'm very spiritual. I'm not religious. But I feel like it helps me just kind of start the day on the right foot. Thanking, you know, being thankful for everything that I have and not just certainly monetary worth. It's more health and my family. And taking those moments to be grateful throughout the day really, really keep me on the right track.
No, I totally attest to everything that you say because I'm absolutely doing the same thing.
That's great. So you must be like very positive, very happy, very chipper.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it really changes your whole mindset, you know, by just even taking those 3 minutes out of your day to do that.
Feel like you have to do things that are good for you. I always put everyone first, and I realized the last year that if my cup isn't full, I can't really give everyone 100%.
Totally.
I schedule things so that I don't disappoint anyone else because I'm totally like, I always make myself secondary in life. And, you know, when I have an appointment, I have a facial, you know, I have a massage, I do these things so that I can keep up with my self-care. And I used to think it was selfish, and now I realize that it's such a huge component of my well-being. And I feel like women need to do that more. You need to take care of yourself.
No, I love it. And I also love how you were even telling me how you promote the journaling. You know, like, even with, like, you were telling me that there was something you wanted to get me to fill out. Like, I am so about that. Like, that is so therapeutic to do.
Yeah, writing. Oh, my gosh. Anything. I write. I have more notebooks and books and all I do is jot notes. I think it gives you clarity about what you're thinking, and it also can give you a reminder. You can check in and take a look at things years later, which I always like to do to see what did I fulfill. I'm very goal-oriented.
Right.
So another part of my propelling in life in all areas and that work, you know, life-family balance is, for me, lists. It's lists of what I need to do at home, what I need to do at work, checking them off, getting them done. And my goals, you know, it's funny, people do like their New Year's resolutions. Like, I have resolutions like every week. So that's like nothing new to me. Like when everyone's like, oh my God, what's your resolution? I'm like, oh, well, let me just bang them off real quick because I'm always trying to be better and learn and grow. So mm-hmm. I think people should incorporate that into their weekly or monthly lives.
Right. Well, it's almost, I mean, you're so good that you have a weekly resolution list. That is amazing.
Well, I don't get to it all. Don't get me wrong. Personality when it comes to improvement, and I like to say when I do something I'm doing it, so I put a lot of pressure on myself, but I think that just as females that's what we do. I think we're just wired that way.
Right. No, I love it. So like what's on your weekly list this week? What have you accomplished so far?
Okay, so it's Thursday, and I made sure that I've had some challenge. My dog hasn't been feeling well, so we made sure that we, you know, figured it out, got it attended to. My daughter is getting all her new classes scheduled, so I had to make sure that I booked everything for next week. Booked a trip because I promised my husband that he'd be able to go away with me and we can take a few days and get in the sun and enjoy each other's company.
Well deserved. Where are you going?
Thank you. Miami. That's like our go-to getaway.
Love it.
Yeah, and then just servicing clients. You know, for me, it's, I have about 20 other things. But, you know, for me, it's I wanted to acquire a few new cases that I could really manage and help and then make sure that every single person that's on my client roster heard from me this week before the new year. So I made it through probably 90% of that list.
That's amazing, Vicky. Bravo.
And then I have to get a facial today because I just feel like I need it. My skin is just... like, I don't know what is going on, but it's cold here in New York.
Oh, my God. I'm in Boston. I'm from New York, but I'm in Boston, and it is even colder here. It is so cold.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
You gotta really layer up. So, you know, making sure that, you know, you just take that time. Because, listen, we all want to feel good. We want to look good. And, you know, you make a commitment to yourself to get everything done. So I'm hoping by tomorrow I can breathe a little easier for a few days.
I know. So what are you doing for New Year's before we close out? Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, so New Year's, since I have a 2.5-year-old, we're going to be staying home and our friends are coming over and we're going to be cooking and having some champagne and just enjoying our home and, you know, our each other's company and our close friends.
I love it. Those are some of the best New Year's, like just chilling.
Yep. That's my favorite thing to do. I don't do it very often, so I love to chill and be in comfortable clothes and cook and listen to music and just talk to the people I care most about.
Totally. And then before, also, we didn't bring this up, but you're doing now these Dear Vicky videos. So tell our audience, you know, how they can get involved with that.
Oh, yes. So Dear Vicky's been something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and we've been in negotiations with a couple different newspapers and online outlets. And basically every Wednesday at 2:30, I take questions that are given to us before or during the segment about relationships, marriage, divorce, prenup, work balance, anything anybody wants to know about. And it's my kind of free 30 minutes of information that I give people. And it's on Facebook Live and Instagram. And I've been doing it. And, you know, so far I just started it. And thank God people are watching and asking questions and messaging me. So anybody that's listening here, your viewers can certainly do that as well. And, you know, my name is Vicki Ziegler, V-I-K-K-I Ziegler. And ask me anything they want because I'd love to help them.
Awesome. So they could do that through, like, your Facebook, your website, like any of that?
Yep, Facebook, Instagram, website, Google me, anything. I get it. I get questions all over 24/7 from every walk of life, and I love it.
So awesome.
Keep it coming.
I'm so glad. Well, Vicki, this has been so great having you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh my gosh, Jack, thank you so much. You asked great questions, and let me know when, you know, everyone will be listening and hearing this, and I can't wait to disseminate anything for you as well.
Of course. I look forward to staying in touch, too. You are the bomb. You are so awesome.
Thank you. All right. Have an amazing day.
You, too. Bye, Vicki. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Thanks again, Vicki, for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you. So next on scene, we have Sarah Motzkin, who is a concierge in the Boston area. She is an amazing rock star, and she's going to be discussing all of her new bridal assistance that she's offering to brides. And this is so relatable because I am a bride-to-be myself, as I was talking about on the podcast. So I wanted to thank you so much for joining. Tomorrow's show will be sponsored by Fashology. So we are excited to inform you on all the ways to go bridal, and we're going to play some fun games as well. So thanks so much for tuning into Next on Scene, and stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@jzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at JZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.